As a church, we are in the midst of a series of messages coming out of Easter on how these three words, He is risen, have changed everything. Today we look at the theme of hope, that because Jesus is risen from the dead, we have hope. He gives us hope by means of His resurrection. You should, in your worship folder, have an outline for the message today, and we'll seek to guide you as we progress through it. The text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing a letter to a church in the city of Corinth because he wants the believers there to have the hope that he has in the one who is risen from the dead. And the text reads, beginning at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. He has delivered us from deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." A couple of things that I just observe in the text as we have read from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. He is talking to them. He wants them to be aware of the troubles that he has experienced in the province of Asia. And just so you know, the province of Asia is not what we think of when we think of Asia. It's not China and Korea and Japan. It's the province of Asia in the time of the first century that the Apostle Paul's writing about is a province in the Roman Empire. It would be part of the western edge of modern-day Turkey on the sea. And so he's speaking to them, and he has been at Ephesus, and he's had trouble in Ephesus. And he has had trouble in his life. And sometimes we might think, as those who look at Christianity from a distance, that how can Christians know anything about suffering? Well, the Apostle Paul knew something about suffering. Later in this same letter, in chapter 11, Paul talks about having been in prison more frequently than many. Flogged, that means with a whip, a scourge, flogged more severely, and exposed to death again and again. Five times he received 39 lashes from the Jewish authorities. 40 lashes was considered capital punishment, and 39 lashes was taking someone right up to the brink of death. Three times the Apostle Paul was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead outside the city. Three times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea. He knew what it was to be in danger on the river, in danger from bandits, in danger from the enemies who opposed him, in danger in the city, in danger out in the countryside, in danger on the sea. He knew what it was to have trouble. He could say that, sing, trouble, trouble, trouble. I know it's trouble. But catch this. What he has experienced, he says in verse 9, this happened, or the trouble that he is experiencing happened that he might not rely on himself, but God who raises the dead. And so the Apostle Paul wants his reader to know hope, even as he has known hope. He would have you who face trouble in your life or will face trouble in your life face trouble confidently by finding hope in four places that we'll identify in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul knew hope from four sources. And so we want to consider what it is that provided the Apostle Paul hope. The first source of hope for the Apostle Paul was in the faithfulness of God. You can face trouble confidently by finding hope in the faithfulness of God. In verse 9 and 10, catch what he says. This happened, the trouble that we're experiencing, trouble so hard that I despaired of life, not a minor headache. This wasn't a migraine that he was experiencing. This was life-threatening kind of stuff, or stuff so weighty and so burdensome that he despaired of life. He says that this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. Now notice verse 10, the faithfulness of God. Paul says, he, God who raised the dead, has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. The Apostle Paul finds hope for the experience that he's presently going through, for the trouble that he is currently enduring. He finds hope in the faithfulness of God. God has delivered me. God will deliver me again. The verb there, to deliver, has the sense of rescue. I'll share with you a story of one of our own. Ralph Tambaro is in the back. Ralph, raise your hand. Thank you, Ralph. Ralph has shared his story with our Encore group that meets once a month on Wednesdays, and he has shared his story down in student ministry. Ralph Tambaro has been delivered from death no less than six times in his life. During World War II, he was a tank driver from Utah Beach through the Battle of the Bulge to the end of the war under General Patton. And one of the times in which he was delivered from death was a time when a German tank fired a projectile that went through his, pierced his tank and exploded under his assistant driver next to him. And he lived. Now at the time, Ralph said, boy, was I lucky. And through his life, at least six times, he thought to himself, boy, was I lucky. And then as an adult, he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And today, as he looks back on his life and what happened to him, those lucky moments, he recognizes that God delivered him, and God delivered him, and God delivered him again and again, sparing his life so that he would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. God saved him so that he could save him. He delivered him from physical death multiple times so that he could know forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal salvation. Like Paul, he says, we have set our hope on the risen Christ. He will deliver us. So you can find hope in the midst of the trouble that you face, whether you're facing it today or you face it tomorrow, by turning to the one who is faithful, to the God who delivers his people from death, the one who raises people from the dead, such as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a second source of hope. The second source of hope is that the Word of God is a place for us to find hope. This same writer, Paul, writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 15 these words about the Scriptures. He says, verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. The apostle is saying that everything that has been written in the scriptures, everything that's been written in the word of God is for our encouragement, that we might find hope in what God has said, what God has spoken, what God has promised. Now, many Christ followers find themselves in the midst of trouble, despairing of life, and without hope. And the problem isn't that God is not capable of assuring them of hope or delivering them. He rose Jesus from the dead. But it's that we don't know the scriptures to know his promises. Sometimes we don't find hope in the midst of our trouble because we don't know the promises of God to which we can cling. And so we hope that God will help, but we're not sure that God will help. You can't find comfort or hope in the promises of God unless you know the promises of God. And you can't know the promises of God without spending time in the Word of God. One of the things that I do as a matter of practice when I'm reading the Scripture is to underscore and highlight the promise of God. Wherever God says, this is what I will do for you, I underscore it so that I remember the promises of God. For example, can anything separate you from God's love? Well, some of us might think, I hope not. Others of us can say, I know, without a doubt, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Because you know God's word on the matter. God's word in Romans chapter 8 at verse 38. Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any power, whether it's a height or in depth nor anything else in all of creation, can separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have God's word on it. We might ask the question, does God know and care about my needs? Does God know the trouble I'm in and care about what I'm suffering? Some of us might think, I hope so. Others of us would say, I know so. Because we know the promise of God. And we know the faithfulness of God. The promise of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and verse 33. Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. The people of the world eagerly seek all of these things. But your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Your Father in heaven knows what you need for life. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. We have God's word on it. So one source of hope in the midst of trouble is the faithfulness of God, that we have experienced God's faithfulness in our life again and again, so we can say with Paul, I know that he will deliver me. We have hope because we know the promises of God, and we say he knows and he cares because he says so, and I'm going to trust his promise. A third source of hope is that you can find hope in the midst of trouble by looking to the people of God. Isn't that interesting? You'd think that looking to the God who is faithful and the God who has spoken and given his word would be sufficient as our source of hope. But there's an interesting thing. God also gives us brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women in human flesh, who are called to come alongside us to help us and give us hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, at verse 10, Paul speaks of this source of hope. He says, on God who has raised Jesus from the dead, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Now catch verse 11. As you help us by your prayers. Catch the thought sequence. As God's people pray for Paul, God will answer the prayers of God's people on behalf of Paul, and all of God's people then will have reason for thanksgiving. Paul's appeal again and again in his letters to God's people is, pray for me. Pray for me. In Romans 15 at verse 30, he says to the people, the believers in Rome, he says, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Join me in my struggle. Now, the word there, join me in my struggle, is an athletic term, and I've asked Eric Link to join me up here at the front. Join me in my struggle is an athletic term. And when it comes to football, who are the people that carry the ball most? Running back? Quarterback. They're the running back and the quarterback. Are you a running back or a quarterback?
No.
Oh, go sit down. No. Eric is the guy that the running back and the quarterback depend on. Do we still have the mic here? Oh, we do. All right. Test. Okay. Tell us why the running back and the quarterback depend on you striving together with the man on your left and the man on your right.
Well, if we don't do our job, then they're going to have a really bad day.
So what is your position?
I played left tackle.
Left tackle. Mm-hmm. On the offensive line?
Yes.
So if you don't do your job, if you let the defensive lineman through, what's going to happen?
Quarterback is going to get hit right in the back.
Yeah, he's going to be hurting. Yeah. So the quarterback needs you to strive together with the man on your left and the man on your right in order to protect him in the pocket. Mm-hmm. What's the running back need you for to strive together with the man on the left and the man on the right?
Open up holes, allow him to run.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Wouldn't you want Eric on your team? Yeah. And now I want you to look at the person sitting to your left or to your right and say, I need you on my team. Because Paul's saying, I need you to join me in my struggle. I need you to strive together with me by means of prayer. Because in your prayer, in your struggle with me in prayer, there is hope, because in answer to your prayer, God helps. So a couple of applications right away is that on the connection card that you received today, there's an opportunity for you to say, I'm in the midst of trouble, and I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to strive with me in prayer. I need you to pray with me. And that's why we hand those cards out. But your brothers and sisters in Christ in trouble also need you to intercede for them. And we have on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., we gather here at First Free for a time of intercession. And if you want to come and join us, we count it a privilege that you come and pray with our brothers and sisters in their time of need together. Well, we'd strive together. Now, we can intercede for brothers and sisters anytime, any place, and we want to join each other in our struggle, but there's a benefit to doing it together. We should join each other in our struggle through prayer as members of God's team in facing difficult circumstances, in facing life's troubles, in facing temptation, in bearing each other's burdens, in making Christ known to neighbors, coworkers, and friends through the work of prayer. Let's strive together. The fourth source of hope that the Apostle Paul identifies for us is hope in the Spirit of God. Hope in the faithfulness of God. Hope in the Word of God. Hope in the people of God. Hope in the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 at verse 5, Paul writes, "Hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us." To every man or woman who surrenders their life to Jesus Christ and enjoys the forgiveness of sin, they also enjoy the indwelling of God's Spirit in their life. His presence not only with them, but in them. The one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in those who know Christ. And so Paul says, our hope doesn't disappoint. It's no shabby hope. It's no hope-so hope. It does not disappoint because God has placed his Spirit in us. You who face trouble can face it confidently by finding hope in the faithfulness of God, in the Word of God, claiming his promises, in the people of God, striving together in prayer, and in the Spirit of God who loves you and lives in you who have trust in Christ. Will you trust him? Believer, will you rely on him as Paul relied on him? Those of you who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you want hope? Do you want God? Do you want the hope that God's people enjoy like Paul? Then say so on your connection card today. As you take your connection card out before you turn it in at the Welcome Center or put it in the offering plate, say, I want to know the hope that God's people enjoyed even as Paul did. Let's pray. And as we pray this morning, we're going to end our time of worship in song, but also in giving as we offer our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are before you as a people who know trouble. We know what it is to experience pain, suffering, difficulty, to be overwhelmed by life circumstances and at times to where we don't know where to turn and we don't know the way out. And this morning you're saying in your word that our hope is in you, in your faithfulness, in your promise, in your people, and in your Spirit who lives in us. We pray, dear Lord, that we would be encouraged in Christ. And we commit our offerings to you this morning, our gifts that we bring, that you would use them through the ministry of this church and the people that we send out among the nations to make the hope of Christ known to many. In Jesus' name, amen.